Well, it's been a while since Kevin Dan has joined me on the program. Super stoked to have him back with me. And what a great show to do with you, Kevin. The Warriors won a huge game at home, nationally televised audience, I think, right? It was on ESPN.
Yep.
Against the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that a lot of people consider the rivals of the Golden State Warriors. We're going to break down that game and everything else going on with the Warriors next. Kevin, great to see you, brother. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Excuse me, we're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. You can follow Kevin Dana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, the voice of a lot of sports. By the way, yes, D. Weiss, you're first. Follow Kevin Dana on Twitter at Kevo408. You can follow me, Cyrus Lotzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow. It's great to see you, brother. I don't know, is this the first show you've done since the new year? I can't recall, man. I feel like it's been a while, but great to see you. Let everyone know how you've been and your first reaction. I know we're a good half day since it happened, but your first reaction since the Warriors beat the Grizzlies in a thriller at Chase Center.
Yeah, you know what? Great to be back, Cyrus. I think this is my first show. Of course, I stood up Locked On Warriors last week with a last minute I stood up the show last week, folks. Prima donnaing it, and then it was like kind of New Year's kind of. No, yeah, we both had other stuff going on the previous couple of weeks or whatever. So
yeah,
I think this is show numero uno for me in
2023.
Yeah. Can we still say that?
I think we can. Yeah, why not? Who
says that? So last night, good thing they won that game, because people would not have been happy had they lost that game, considering what had happened. That's my initial reaction.
Oh my God! Could you imagine how different this show would be if they lost that game? How in the doghouse would Jordan Poole be right now? why don't we start with that? Who do you want to hear sound from? Do you want to hear sound from Poole talking about his interaction with Stephen Curry in the tunnel after the ejection? Do you want to hear some clips from Steph first talking about letting his emotions get in the way? And just to let people know, last night, how much time was left in the game, Kevin? Was it a minute and change?
Like a buck 20, maybe?
So about buck 20, Steph gets ejected because – I mean, look, this is interpretation of observing what happened. Steph gets annoyed because Jordan Poole takes a shot when he's right behind him, wide open for his own three. The shot does not go in. I think it's safe to say if you're going to choose between Poole and Steph taking a three, you should pick Stephen Curry 100 out of 100 times. And Steph let his emotions get the best of him through his mouthpiece. And the way he threw it, I think, is what got him in trouble. He really threw it hard. I don't think it went necessarily in the stands, but let's hear from Stephen Curry on what happened in regards to his emotions and him being ejected for throwing that mouthpiece.
Where he seemed upset at the Jordan shot selection, and obviously that led to the mouth guard throwing the ejection.
Yeah, crucial time in the game, and the way that our season has gone, there's questions about the heightened sense of urgency of every detail matters. And when you want something really bad, like just getting a win, and then fourth quarter execution, clutch time type situation, all that stuff does matter. So I reacted in a way that obviously put myself out of the game, put the team in a tough place, but the intentions and the energy around what matters and the sense of winning, that's what it's about. Thankfully, we all responded, or my teammates responded extremely well. Clay with a big shot, Dre P with, you know, the game winner at the end. Execution was great. We needed that one. So there's a lot of, there's a sense of urgency for sure. And kind of let my emotions get in the way of it.
And I'm going to play one more soundbite real quick before we comment. This is also Stephen Curry explaining why he thought he got ejected for throwing the mouthpiece.
Did you know right away it was like?
Nah, because I mean, I remember in 2016 when I threw it and I hit somebody, like that's a clear situation. But this one, I'm sure you just saw how hard I threw it, but it didn't go into the stands. It was kind of like a delayed reaction by, I forget who it was.
Talking about the official?
Yeah, whoever threw me out. I kind of blacked out. When I threw it, I was like, I'm not going to throw it on the court. So I threw it pretty hard, but I didn't think it got into the stands or put anybody, you know, in danger. So maybe I dented the floor too hard, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. So I forgot about that 2016 moment until he mentioned that. Do you remember that when he chucked it?
Me too. I have a Skip Bayless level take on this whole situation.
Please, please.
I don't think it was a bad shot that Jordan Poole took. I was like 95% fine with it. Now, would Steph Curry have been the better option? 1,000%. But when is the best time to shoot a three? This is what every analyst and coach will tell you. It's after an offensive rebound. Jordan Poole shot that three after an offensive rebound. The shot clock does not reset to 24 anymore. It resets to 14. You're up two. You're not going to kill the game away by dribbling the clock out. What up, Steve? Steve's my guy. but, like... So, okay, he took the shot with 12 on the shot clock. Had he taken it with 2 on the shot clock, you kill 10 more seconds. It, like, maybe takes a half a possession away from Memphis, maybe. Like, probably not. And also, like, it was a long three. No, like, it was a deep freaking three. It's like a 30-footer. But it was open. Yep. And I don't think there's any guarantee, considering – the late game issues that Golden State has had recently. I mean, Steph, I'd have to see again where Steph was on that play. Like if Steph was wide open.
He was. I remember. Well, he was wide open. Yeah.
All right. So like obviously Steph's a better shooter. He's the best shooter in the history of the game. Like that, but like Jordan Poole is not like a bad shooter.
Correct.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, all right, percentage-wise, the play is to go to Steph. But, like, it's not like you're going to kill a whole lot more time by holding on to the ball. And I'm perfectly fine with someone who has the confidence to take that shot up to with a minute 15 to go. Jordan Poole is a lot of things. He is wild out there. I'm surprised he only had 3 turnovers in that game. It felt like more than 3. When I looked at the box score right before we came on, I was like, he only had 3 turnovers? So, like, getting a shot up is the most important thing, especially since they were booting the ball all over the place, especially in the first half. The turnover numbers were nasty. Like, yeah, Steph would have been a better shot for sure, but I don't think it's a bad shot that Jordan took. And I want guys like Jordan Poole on the floor who have that kind of moxie. Now, he's had a lot of, like, late-game miscues. In this situation, he made up for it. I understand why Steph was pissed because he's the best shooter in the world and he should get that ball. But at the same time, like, it would have been from good to great, the pass that Poole should have made. Still, like, a decent look that he had. It was still open, and it's the best time to shoot a three when the defense is scrambling. That's my Jordan defense today.
It is interesting how Jordan Poole makes certain veterans react the Warriors. Yeah. Whether it was Draymond Green and that unfortunate incident during training camp. Now Stephen Curry, who by the way has 3 career ejections, all 3 are from throwing his mouth guard I want to play this soundbite real quick from Jordan Poole. This was Jordan Poole talking about his interaction with Stephen Curry in the tunnel. So Steph gets ejected. Steph's waiting for the team in the tunnel. Jordan Poole is, I think, one of the first players in the tunnel, and in a joking manner, throws his mouthpiece against the wall, which I think symbolized just how lighthearted the whole thing was, how there were no hard feelings. And here's Jordan Poole talking about that.
So why did you throw your mouthpiece?
I don't even know what you're talking about, bro.
Come on now.
I don't even remember. Short memory.
What was it like, though? I mean, coming off you, the game-winning shot, and then, you know, you see Steph sitting there looking at you, and you guys just kind of hugged it out.
We just kind of embraced it a little bit. Obviously, he's our leader, and we would love to have him in the game at the last three. We just found a way to grit it out, get a big win against a really good team, and got to keep that momentum going.
So...
sorry about that. So that was Jordan Poole. I do like, I've seen a few people on Twitter and now here make this reference, and D right here writes it as well, that Jordan Poole's the team's annoying little brother laughing my, you know what, off. I think, I don't know. What do you think about that sentiment? Is that accurate or do you see it a different way, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I can see how he could frustrate the team with some of the turnovers he has made. And let me clarify, like, when I said it was good to great that pass, like I'm not, I should clarify, I don't think it was a good shot that Jordan take, but I am fine with that shot,
though. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. No, I totally follow what you're saying. Yeah.
I think that's better than it's not better than passing the ball to Stephen Curry, but it's better than dribbling around for 12 seconds and then heaving up a three at the end of the shot clock just to kill off 10 seconds when there's still more than a minute to go.
Like, absolutely.
A minute and 20 or whatever it was when that happened is an eternity in an NBA game. So
especially, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's like we're talking over Cricket Wireless or something. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I don't know if annoying little brother is how I'd say it, but like, yeah, I mean, obviously Steph was annoyed with him there. He's a brash, confident 23-year-old who's trying to prove that he's worth the money that he's making. And look, he's going to have ups and downs because he's still 23 years old, but I can live with like the confidence that he plays with. Like, I think you need hot or cold guys. Like, he's like a souped up J.R. Smith almost. Like a guy who can like just get on an absolute heater and just take over a game with more ball skills than J.R. Smith.
Yeah, Poole finished with 21 points. He shot 8 of 14 from the field. You mentioned those three turnovers, which by his standards are excellent. He was 2 of 6 from deep. He had a fantastic game. And look, the bottom line is Jordan Poole, like you said, he's young, he's brash, and he's just not at a point in his career where he's going to be flawless. I mean, no one's flawless, but you're still going to see those young mistakes from him. When we come back, though, I want to talk about the fact that Andrew Wiggins was a late scratch. And Steve Kerr, kudos to you. You started Jonathan Kuminga. That made a huge difference. And we got to talk about Kuminga's impact and so much more. That game was huge. I do see the topics real quick in the chat pertaining to that Athletic article from, I think it was just yesterday, pertaining to Joe Lacob's influence on the team. If we get to it, it'll be at the end of the show. Otherwise, we'll cover that Friday with Kylan Mills. But first, I'm running really behind on sponsors. And today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. Kevin, you have not been here since FanDuel became one of the official sponsors of LeBron. You know you've made it big when FanDuel is paying your bills. And look, the NFL playoffs are here. Do you have any feelings, by the way, on Sunday's games? I mean, obviously the big ones, the NFC Championship, Niners, Eagles, Brock Purdy, possibly the next franchise QB of the 49ers. Any thoughts on that? I think the line, by the way, is only 2.5, the Eagles' favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I uh, I would take the Niners and the Bengals just because Mahomes is banged up and I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to move out of the pocket. I say this as a Raiders fan, but hope that the Niners do well. Yeah, especially since they moved into my neck of the woods. Basically, I'm 10 minutes from Santa Clara. They should be the Santa Clara 49ers, but whatever. I think we're going to get our third installment of a Niners-Bengals Super Bowl.
All right. Well, there you go. And the Chiefs-Bengals line, courtesy of FanDuel, I think is the Chiefs favored by 1.5, which indicates that maybe Patrick Mahomes' leg, there is something going on there because that's a really low line. But regardless, new customers of FanDuel, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. And again, FanDuel is incredible. Don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You follow Kevin Dana on Twitter at Kevo408, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors. Just finishing up the whole Stephen Curry ejection and that whole incident. Here's Steph's final comment real fast, responding to Jordan Poole throwing the mouthpiece when they cross paths in the tunnel.
His what? To who?
You didn't see?
He threw his mouth. Yeah. That's like one of those like too soon jokes. I'm still hot.
Yeah, the annoying little brother, man. I'm seeing him more and more. I don't know. But yeah. Steph didn't seem that amused by the throat. What do you think about Andrew Wiggins, by the way? It was a very surprise late scratch. He clearly has not been himself since coming back from missing 15 games with the illnesses. And again, he was a late scratch, I believe, because he wasn't feeling well. I didn't really get specifics on that. But nonetheless, the Warriors and Steve Kerr go with Jonathan Kuminga in the starting five. I loved it. I've been a proponent all season that with this current roster, I think you would be best served mixing and matching lineups where you have veterans with youngsters. And the Warriors, after last night's win, want to throw Dante DiVincenzo in there as well, who I absolutely love off the bench. Kuminga finished the game with 13 points, only had 2 rebounds, but he had great defense out there, had 4 assists. DiVincenzo with an 8-point night. 4 rebounds in 34 minutes, but their play is clutch. The Warriors are now 19-10 this year when those two players play. What were your thoughts about Kuminga and any thoughts on Wiggins? I don't know if you've heard anything, but
yeah, I think they said it was a non-COVID illness, right? Why he didn't play last night.
Correct.
I just hope he can get a stretch of games together again, as he had missed 15 games. What was I going to say? Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, I've loved what he's done. Like, the most impressive thing to me, and maybe it's because he's 20 years old and his body just responds quicker. Like, when he came back for the Cleveland game, looked like he hadn't missed any games at all.
Right,
like,
he was just right.
Back into the rotation, just like he never missed a beat. I love what I've seen from Jonathan Kuminga. Like, he's getting it. He's getting it. He's knowing how to play the game. And, like, I remember what the Christmas Day game, ESPN ran a stat when Kuminga was at the foul line. They were saying they ran his season stats numbers. Then underneath it said all lower than his previous game, than his previous season. And, like, yeah, his scoring, his rebounding is down. His percentages are down, at least going into the Memphis game. I didn't update my Kuminga chart yet. But, like, if you just watch him play, he is, like, 1,000% better than he was last year. And it's, like, the assists are up, and I think that's something we can clearly see, because like he is going from good to great all the time. He is passing up some threes that aren't good for him to get it to a more open Klay Thompson, or a, you know, better shooting Dante DiVincenzo, or driving guys to the rim and just trying, you know, put them in the basket. I mean, yeah, I saw some guys, some people in the chat talking about the dunk he had last night. I mean, there were a couple. I was like, my jaw just drops, and I, you know, just go like slack face, slack jawed, or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I think Kuminga could be really freaking good. And I think he has been really, really good this year for Golden State after into the first, whatever it was, the first month of the season or whatever. It was like that win in Minnesota, their second road win of the year, where he really started to turn the corner. I'm not sure if he's going to be an all-star next year.
He might.
He's still 20 years old, but I think eventually he is going to be an all-star in this league.
I don't want to rule that out, but you're right. Probably not next year, but because he's only 20 years old. He won't turn 21 till October.
Yeah.
He is just really young. What did you think before we go to our next break here? What did you think about Kerr's end of the game lineup? Where before Steph's ejection, I think the lineup was it was small. It was Steph, the pool party, DiVincenzo. It was Draymond Green and Klay. Was that the five?
Yeah.
I loved it. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, they were down 9 with like 5 minutes to go. I think I was reading the Anthony Slater article on this. They were down with 9 with like 5 minutes to go when they went to that lineup. And then they were plus 11 over the last 5 minutes, or I guess plus 11 over the next 4 minutes until Steph Curry got ejected out of the game. So, yeah, it worked.
It did.
I don't know if you can do that for 48 minutes, but situationally, like, because you still obviously need to have Kevon Looney out there. He is still a huge, huge piece of this game, of this team, I should say. I think like you sprinkle that in there and you negate a lot of, you know, the rebounding issues that might have. Draymond Green is an incredible rebounder, by the way, and Steph Curry is a very good rebounder as well.
Absolutely. But,
I liked it.
And Draymond finished with 13 rebounds, going along with 7 assists, 8 points. A fantastic game for him, especially defensively. I saw some clutch blocks, like you said, the rebounding. In just a moment, I want to talk about some news that came out regarding Moses Moody. I personally think it's great news. I want to talk a little bit about Klay Thompson, wrapping things up here. And like I said, if we have time, we'll talk about the whole proxy war going on, because I don't think you could even call it speculation anymore. It's so damn obvious. And The Athletic just kind of broke some news with a report 2 days ago. But first, I got to give some love to a sponsor called Masterclass. And if you go to masterclass.com, you can sign up for a legitimate classroom type setting. It's honestly no different than a university classroom setting, where you're being taught and you're being lectured by a pro, an expert at their field. You know, it could be a wide variety of instructors teaching you about how to be, for example, like an actor, how to be a cook. If you want to learn how to engineer or be a craftsman when it comes to carpentry, journalism, you name it, whatever the class is, they offer it. And it's absolutely incredible. I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every class. And as a Locked On Warriors listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/lockedon now. That's masterclass.com/lockedon for 15% off at Masterclass. And I personally, again, really do recommend it. It's good stuff.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Wrapping things up with Kevin Dana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevo408. Retzi writes that they were up till almost midnight last night waiting for an 11th hour live stream after that Wild game. I apologize. I actually went to the game as a fan. What a game to go to as a fan. It really, I don't know, Kev, if you agree with this or not, it really had the feel of a playoff game. Like every possession was tight. You know, both teams were playing outstanding defense. I think the running time, I don't know if the box score has that. It should.
But yeah, it was 244. 245.
245. Yeah, 2 minutes, 45 seconds for a game that did not go into overtime. That's long for a regular season game that and again, it was just because of so many stops and it was an awesome game. You had that playoff fever in there. So thank you so much to the Golden State Warriors for showing everyone a great time, and especially me and my friend and her kid and her kid's friend. That was just a great time for us, without a doubt. Moses Moody was optioned today to your team, Kevin. He is now going to be a member of the Santa Cruz Warriors again. I personally love the move because, to me, he was just rotting on that bench. I did not see any good coming from Moses Moody, just sitting there getting DNPs night after night. He got a DNP again last night. For whatever reason, Kerr has trust issues with him right now. We don't know the specifics of that. Your thoughts on Moses Moody playing for Santa Cruz? And have you heard anything? Like, are you going to call a game where he's there? Your thoughts. Take it away, please.
All right. So I do want to push back a little bit the Moody narrative. Not just you've had that. Okay. Other, and this could very much sound like state-run radio here for me.
Okay.
That's fine. You can feel free to disagree with me. But Moses Moody this year is on pace to play more games, more minutes per game, score more points, get more rebounds, shoot better from the field, shoot better from three. I don't think he's regressed. And he's played in 39 games this year, so he hasn't played in nine. And yeah, he did not play last night, and as of late, it feels like he hasn't played a ton. But he's not like completely out of the rotation as much as I feel like people say he is. And I think that's because they haven't been super healthy, right? So like, you know, Wiggins missed 15. Steph missed, 11 games? You know, Kuminga was out for a little bit. Jamichael Green was out for a little bit. James Wiseman was out for a little bit. And so, like, they couldn't have I saw some people saying, it's about time they assigned Moody. Like, they kind of needed him on the bench because they just weren't fully right, just from a body perspective.
Right.
I think this is a great move, too. I agree with you, Cyrus. Other guys in their second year with Golden State who got assigned to Santa Cruz include Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney. It's not like, you know, I think sometimes when people see, and maybe this is like 2013 Kevin talking, because we were specifically told to not say going down to the G League. Like, we had an identity crisis in the G League back in 2013. We're trying to, you know, like, kind of like a Napoleon complex, if you will, right? Like, we're trying to be the big, we're trying to, you know, be bigger than what we were or whatever as a league. I'm not saying as a team, I'm saying as a league. Like, the messaging was, don't say down, even though, like, whatever, like, Oakland at the time and Santa Cruz, like, you are, like, quite literally going down to Santa Cruz. It is south on the map. Anyways, I say all that to say, like, it's not a demotion. It's a chance for him to get his reps. Jordan Poole was able to, you know, just kind of work a lot of stuff out in the G League bubble, and he came back a much different player his second season. Kevon Looney's assignment was a much shorter stint. It was one or two games. I think he had like 20 rebounds in a game in Santa Cruz that second season. But, yeah, I mean, as far as I know, he's playing tomorrow night against the South Bay Lakers in Southern California. So, I mean, him, Ryan Rollins, and Patrick Baldwin Jr. all supposed to be there. And, look, he could get pulled back right after that game, but – you would think they play Golden State doesn't play again until Monday after playing the Toronto Raptors. They got games Friday and Sunday in South Bay, the Santa Cruz Warriors. So you'd imagine that Moses would be there for those two games. And then after that, maybe he joins a team in Oklahoma City. So we'll see.
All right. And I'm excited for you to be calling some Moses Moody games. I'm going to end the show, by the way, naming the Eastern and Western Conference starters for the All-Star game that did just come out while we're recording this show, which we're doing live right now. What are your thoughts about the James Wiseman DNP? Yet another one. He's healthy. They won the game. So, you know, it didn't turn into a contentious issue. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, I honestly can't remember the last time I saw James Wiseman play. What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you mind it? Did it take issue with it? Your thoughts?
I think, like, we know that Steve Kerr, by and large, trends to play guys who have more experience than those who don't. That's really the only thing I read into it. Why is he playing Jamichael Green? Because, well, he's played 9 years in the NBA. He's 32 years old. He knows what he's doing out there. And James Wiseman, like, made, I thought, pretty nice strides before he got injured and rolled his foot and rolled his ankle in practice of playing 3-on-3 in December. But look, he's got a long way to go in terms of getting the experience. And that's why I thought they played Jamichael Green. Jamichael Green had played really well against Cleveland too. And so
incredibly,
I think he's starting to come around a little bit. He had a nice and one last night.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I personally want to see Wiseman play, cause I enjoy following his progress and his career development. But yeah, there just weren't minutes for him last night, Steve Kerr decided.
Yeah, and it was weird again to me that Jamichael Green did not play in that Nets game. It was a DNP. Yeah, this whole season has some befuddlement to it. But again, a story that came out courtesy of The Athletic had three reporters working on this story, revealing that Joe Lacob has become much more hands-on as an owner when it comes to personnel decisions, when it comes to the draft, while simultaneously Bob Myers, the general manager of this team for approximately 10 plus years, he's on an expiring contract, and they're hearing that Myers might move on. I'll save that for tomorrow's show with Kylan, just because we're up against the clock. And Kevin, you're an employee of the Warriors. I want to start doing better when it comes to asking you questions that will not make you uncomfortable and that the audience myself can get genuine answers from. So we'll see. Is that cool? If that's cool with you, unless you want.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I mean, I know as much as the article reported, right? I'm not in any like Golden State brass decision. You can ask me all the all the tough questions you want. There's no, I'm gonna give like a stock answer.
It's all right. No, man, I honestly, personally, and let me know if you think this is incorrect, but I your value to me and to this show is, I mean, you're a brilliant basketball mind. You're the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors. I feel like when you opine on players and their activity and their skill sets and what they're doing on the court, I respect every single thing, every little thing you say. But at the same time, yeah, you work for the Warriors, so topics like this, I mean, it's and I'm starting to feel bad to bring you into it just because I'm. What are you gonna say? What can you say? You know, and this whole season's been like this. So I'm starting to put you in so many tough spots, Kevin. So we'll stick to basketball if you're cool with that.
I'm cool with that. Makes life easier.
All right. And I want to finish up on this note. The Eastern and Western Conference starters have been announced. So LeBron James was named a captain over Steph. Supposedly, he won more fan votes again. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the Eastern Conference captain based on votes. We beat out Kevin Durant, who was leading that, I think, for a lot of the ways. Your Western Conference starters are going to be LeBron James. He picked Stephen Curry, so Steph and LeBron are teaming up again. Luka Doncic is on that team. Zion Williamson is on that team. And Nikola Jokic is on that team. I think the West is going to win fairly handily before I even tell you who's on the East team. And the Eastern Conference team is Giannis, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, who reportedly is aspiring to play in the All-Star game. He's healing very well from his knee injury. Kyrie Irving is a starter. That is bizarre to me. And then Donovan Mitchell round out the Eastern Conference starters. So any thoughts on that? Are these the teams that were
drafted? No, they're not. They're still going to like have the draft. So it's not.
Okay.
Like,
so these are the final teams.
Going to. Okay. Yeah. Like they're just, you know, all-star starters, like kind of like a, you know, a designation, you know, chip on.
Right.
Your,
right.
Whatever
on it. And legacy and all that stuff. All right. If my understanding is correct, the All-Star game, the night of, before the game starts, they're basically LeBron and Giannis are basically just going to pick who they want playing with them, like literally right before the game starts, just like a pickup game. So, any last words, Kevin, before we wrap things up?
I like that. Jill, I was seeing Jill wrote something. They were having some talk amongst the chat. She wrote something like, well, when Wembanyama comes here next year, we'll see how Steve plays small ball or something like that. I only bring this up because tomorrow I have a Victor Wembanyama broadcast, Mets 92 playing Rouen on the NBA app, 11:30 a.m. And Warriors fans, you might remember Michael Petras.
Of course.
I'm doing the game with him tomorrow.
Former first round pick, man, Air of the Golden State Warriors. From France.
So I only mentioned that because I'm doing a game with Petras tomorrow. So a Wemby game. So tune in.
There you go. And so catch Kevin Danna there. Kylan Mills and I will host a show tomorrow after the game. It's going to be a Friday late night edition of Locked On Warriors. Anything else you'd like to promote, Kevin, before we call it a wrap?
No, Santa Cruz plays on NBC Sports Bay Area tomorrow, same time. So whenever the Warriors Raptors are in commercial, flip over to 780 if you have Xfinity. I have no idea what the channel is on Dish or DirecTV, but there's always that thing that comes up on the score bug that'll let you know if you're watching on NBC Sports Bay Area, the Warriors games, where you can find the Santa Cruz Warriors. Yeah, we'll have Moses Moody on assignment. And PBJ and Rollins. Rollins playing really well in the G League, by the way. And also, do not text me about the Warriors game, the Golden State game, during the game, because I will be DVRing Golden State Toronto, and I do not check my phone. I do not want games spoiled for me. I have only had the game spoiled like three times this year for me. 48 regular season games. And I have to watch a lot of games in DVR. So,
And by the way, No Cap writes, why does it take so long for us to actually get the show going after games? Part of it is research. You know, like I never like to go into games blind and the game just finished. So I have to kind of study it a little bit. Part of it is prep, setting up. It isn't as simple as just turning on the camera and going. There is a little nuance to it. So sorry we don't go like literally right after the game, but usually it's about 10 to 15 minutes after. And given how late the game is Friday, it should be immediately after. It should not be much of a delay. So folks, thanks for joining us. Kevin, love you. Great to have you finally back on the show. It had been way too long. And again, we'll be back at it tomorrow night after the Warriors and the Raptors at Chase Center. Let's hope the Warriors start a streak here. Thank goodness they snapped a four-game losing streak, a four-game home losing streak. That was ridiculous. So I'm very relieved that's done with. They beat the Grizzlies, a tough opponent. Good win, gentlemen. Good win. All right, Kevin. Love you, man.